Blog Talk Radio.
This particular lesson has an interesting title. The title of this particular lesson is The Loose My Money Law. I'm going to be a little religious about it and say the Loose My Money Lord. For in the New Testament in particular, whenever you read the word Lord, it means law. Now, this will help you right away so that you will have a greater understanding of the Bible. In the Bible, Lord means law, law of mind. What is a law? There are many different definitions that we can give to the term law. But for our purposes, law is an inevitable tendency. Say with me, law is an inevitable tendency.
Law is an inevitable tendency.
For example, we talk about the law of gravity in physics. And the law of gravity, very briefly illustrated, means what goes up must come down. That is what? An inevitable tendency. I'm about to throw this handkerchief into the air. And when I throw it into the air, it is inevitable that it will do what? You see, the law of gravity worked. The handkerchief came down. Ladies and gentlemen, there is law back of all life. There is law back of and governing all of your experiences of life. Life is not just a gamble. It's not just happenstance. It's not just the way the mop flops or just the way the cookie crumbles. But there is exact law in the universe. And there is an exact law of mind which determines our experience of life. And in the Bible, this exact law of mind is called Lord. And in the Bible, the statement of the law of mind is found in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse. As a man thinks, so is he. Together?
As a man thinks, so is he.
And this is the law. Just like it is the law that what goes up must come down. As a man thinks, so is he, is just as scientific a law as the law of gravity. And the reason we call this philosophy the science of living is because we teach you to know the law of thinking, the law of living. And you don't have to live by a gamble. You don't have to take life as the mop flops or just the way the cookie crumbles. You can flop your own mop when you understand the law of life. You can crumble your own cookie just like you want it when you understand the law of mind and the law of life. And that excites me because I like to know what's going to happen in my life. Don't you? I like to have a handle. I like to have control of what's happening in my life. Don't tell me that I just have to be poor. Don't tell me that I just have to be sick. I like to have something to say about that. And the Bible gives us that handle in the law of mind. As a man thinks, so is he. And since my thinking is the law, the determining factor. And again, you see, law means determining factor. That's another definition of law. So say with me, law is a determining factor.
Law is a determining factor.
And you see, thinking is the determining factor of the way you experience life. Repeat after me. When I know and practice the law of mind.
When I know and practice the law of mind.
Positively. I can crumble my cookie just like I want it.
I can crumble my cookie just like I want.
When I know and practice the law of mind positively.
When I know and practice the law of mind positively.
I can flop my mop exactly like I want it.
I can flop my mop exactly as I want.
A little more play on words here. The word science, we call this philosophy science of living. And it may sound a bit strange to some people, but science is translated from the original Greek word ginoskai or ginoski, depending upon which province of Greece you're from. And science means to know. The Master Jesus himself said what? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what is this truth that we have to know? It's, to me, not a religious truth, not a theological truth, not a dogmatic truth, not a doctrinal truth of some kind. But when you know the truth about yourself, when you know that as you think, so are you, then you can take that truth and be free from chance or from bad luck. Let me tell you something. So many people have got this bad luck syndrome until I'm having to work on it. I've been working on the luck people, because the luck people are living by chance. They do not know that life is science.
Yes, sir.
That life may be handled in a scientific way. And of course, this is the secret of good luck. And it is a secret to many people that I can handle my life knowingly and make it what I want it to be. So repeat after me. I can handle my life knowingly.
I can handle my life knowingly.
Consciously. And make it what I want it to be.
And make it what I want it to be.
And that's why this is the science of living. That's why this is referred to sometimes as mind science. It is the truth that sets you free from luck, from chance, and from gambling with your fate. But the big thing about it is that this kind of teaching makes a person responsible for what happened to him. And a lot of people are just not ready for that. A lot of people don't want to be responsible for themselves. They'd rather make the devil responsible, or God in the sky responsible, or the president responsible, anybody but me. But the old spiritual says, it's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so we're dealing with science here. We are dealing with the knowledge that I am God, and beside me there is no other. I am meaning what? Awareness. Awareness of being. And to strip the mask away from it all, I am means my thinking. So say with me, I am means my thinking.
I am means my thinking.
Say it again.
I am.
For the third time,
I am in my thinking.
Now that's with all of the theological mask stripped away from it. When you know that your thinking determines the outcome of your life and your affairs, that gives you a handle to control. And this sets you free from chance and from luck and from the way the mop flops or the way the cookie crumbles. Today, the particular title of this lesson is the Loose My Money Law, or the Loose My Money Lord. And in this lesson, I'm going to address myself to the idea of how to stop people and things from holding up or delaying your money or your good. That's what we're going to address ourselves to. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
All right, let me hear you shout after me. I am ready.
I am ready.
To stop people.
People.
And things. From holding up. Hindering.
Obstructing.
And delaying.
My money.
Good.
Now
that's what we're going to do. You know, what you say is what you get. The Master Jesus gave us that key, and again, this is a law. It's a determining factor. It's an inevitable tendency. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Say it again. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, in all of life, that's exactly what you're going to have. You're going to have what you say. I'll let the cat out of the bag right away. One of the ways to stop other folks from stopping your money and stopping your good is for you to stop saying that they are doing it.
All right.
Because every time you say, they are stopping my money, They are holding my money. They are delaying my good. Every time you say that, you know what you're doing? You are giving away your power to work against you to stop your good. Other folks can't stop you unless you give them your power to stop you with. I hope you're with me. Every power that seems to work against a person is really the person's own power of thought that he has given away. Let's quote the inevitable tendency. Let's quote the determining factor again. The law, the Lord from the lips of Jesus. This is why Jesus is given the title Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus understood the law. Now, most of the evangelists don't understand what it means when they say, do you accept Jesus as your Lord? They understand in a sense of semantics, but Jesus is worthy of the title Lord because Jesus understood and worked by the law of mine. Listen at this law again, which Jesus has spoken. He shall have whatsoever he says. God, how simple. That's why Jesus went around saying to the lame man, take up your bed and walk. When there was the appearance of a lack of food, Jesus took the little fish and bread in his hand and said, thank you, Father. And enough bread and fish appeared to feed 5,000. That's why Jesus could stand up in the midst of a storm and speak to the winds and the waves and say, peace.
Be still.
He understood the law. Some people think that Jesus was just some kind of freaky Superman who could do things like that. But in every case, Jesus knew the law and was working with the law of good, the law of God, the law of mind. And I want you to understand that the same lordship that Jesus worked in and with, that same lordship is your lordship.
Uh-huh.
And you see, when you accept Jesus in truth, it really means that I accept the law of life.
Yes, sir.
I accept my lordship in God.
Yes, sir.
It means that from this moment on, I am going to live by the law.
Hallelujah.
The law of mine, the law of God, the law of good. And I'm going to speak according to the law of good. Because the Lord says what? He shall have whatsoever he says. So you see, when you say, they are holding up my money, they are holding up my good, what are you getting? What you say. So if you want other folks to stop stopping your money, if you want other folks to stop stopping your good, you are first of all going to have to stop your thought that they are stopping your money, are stopping your good. You're going to have to stop that ungodly belief. And I want to repeat this again, and I hope you see it. Anything or anybody that works against you, that is your misused power coming back at you. The Bible says there is no power but of God. And of course we know God is thought and the Lord is the law by which thought operates. All power is in thought. All power is in thinking. Again, the Master Jesus revealed it. It's so simple, the theologians missed it. The Christians got a hold of it and messed it up completely. Jesus spoke it and they grabbed it and messed it up. Look what they've done to my song. And he said it so beautifully, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You believe that so-and-so is stopping your money, stopping your good, delaying your good, delaying your money? According to your faith, so be it unto you. It is always man's own power which he has ignorantly and unconsciously given away with his thought that comes back to bedevil him. You see, the devil is your own negative thought. The devil is your own negative thinking. The pitchfork that he needles you with is your own negative belief. The devil's tail is your tail that you have put on him. to lash you with. But you see, again, people don't recognize their thoughts when they come back. As a matter of fact, people don't even recognize their thoughts and their words when they go forth. They don't realize what they're doing. That's why, and I quote it again and again, one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There is no greater prayer. If you would stop and consider what you do to yourself with your mouth, if you want other people and things to stop going against you, mostly the first thing you need to stop is your mouth. You want to stop folks from stopping your money? Stop your mouth from saying they're stopping it. Stop your mind from thinking they're stopping it. Another great prayer from the Psalms. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.
For Jessica and Tasia on Hindsight Radio.
Good evening. This is Jessica and Tasia. Tasia, welcome to the Divine Connection Show. Thanks for joining us today. We got some exciting things to talk about. First, we wanted to acknowledge the chaos that's going on right now. We understand that the coronavirus has everyone in a frenzy, people around us in an uproar and a panic pretty much. So we know that's going on, but we're not going to allow that to intervene with what we have going on. It's part of what we were talking about, combating fear, because we're still trying to reach success. And all of this is events happening. We still have plans on succeeding. So this is one of those things where it's like, are you going to let this distract you from what you're really setting out to do? So, yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Fear is definitely a distraction.
Yeah, so it's all in the mindset. So we have to change our mind. We're constantly renewing our mind. We're constantly doing affirmations, even the things that you don't really believe, speaking those positive things every day helps you, and to see it and to speak it helps you to believe it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so change your mindset. So, yeah, we're striving for success. So one of the main things we know is we've been talking about combating fear and changing your mindset, but also have some dreams and goals and aspirations written down.
Yeah, and don't let fear derail you of your dreams and your goals. Just you have to stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
Tunnel vision on the end result.
Right. So, you know, we got the book that Akeem recommends us to all get, the American Dictionary of the English Language, 1828, and that is like amazing. I've been on just this super knowledge marathon, it seems like.
Yeah, we're all scholars.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
To get some new material.
Get new material. The things that, there's some words in here you thought you understood what it really meant and didn't. You know, just back then how the definitions have changed. Tables have literally turned. But yeah, so anyway, since we're talking about success, I looked up the word successfulness in that book, and it says prosperous conclusion, favorable event. And as I was just skimming and scrolling through this dictionary, I came across the word miscarried. And miscarried means to fail of the attendant effect, not to succeed, to be unsuccessful, to suffer defeat, applied to persons with undertakings and to things. We say a project scheme, design, enterprise, attempt has been miscarried. So basically the opposite of success. So to fail the intended effect, not to succeed, to be unsuccessful. So it made me think about, you know, how many goals and dreams and visions and things that we've aspired to achieve, how many of those things have we miscarried? Like,
that we didn't see fully through whatever adversity it may be to throw us off course.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have done some things in my life where I started something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I set it down for a season, then I pick it back up. But it never got its nutrients it needed to become fully mm-hmm. what it should have been become.
Right.
So we just have to be conscious and mindful of that, that we have to carry it out all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like we start, I mean, if you realize you're that thing and never complete it, like, acknowledge that and try to combat that. Like, for me, I know I went through some old journals, and I saw I had dates and plans written out, and I saw that this is something I really, I'm still saying I want to do. This is something I still want to achieve. There's this business I want to do. And that was a wake-up call for me in starting something. I was just like, no, I've been talking about this for way too long because I had put dates. Definitely write your stuff down, but also have a checklist on when you're going, like, give yourself a checklist and dates on when you want to achieve it. Like, have a plan, basically, to carry it out, to see it through.
And I think it helps that if you have an accountability partner, too.
Right, yeah.
To kind of help guide
yeah.
you, keep you accountable, making sure that you do say what you're going to say.
Or do what you say you're going to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is such a key element in success. Relationships help you to become successful. You can't be in this world without relationships. So, yeah. That's actually a key element, accountability partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of times we just isolate
mm-hmm.
what we're doing
the
to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And the idea, too. Yeah.
I mean, you still have to be careful of who you reveal these things to,
right.
but you do need somebody that you can trust
mm-hmm.
with right. your dream.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, to have an accountability partner. And you may not have anybody right now, but through working to achieve your goals, you meet people. You have to. So that's going to help you towards success. Like, relationship is so key.
That's what business is all about. It's
right.
Relationships. Making relationships.
It doesn't have to be your best friend. It's just somebody you can respect and trust is definitely important. In becoming successful, we make so many connections. And, you know, you have a person, you have a banker, you have a broker, you know, you have to have people that you trust to be successful. So, yeah, so relationship, key element. But something else I came across, so, of course, thinking about your dreams and aspirations and things that you want to achieve and how many things have we actually miscarried, but also how many things have we aborted. So, I mean, abortion and miscarriage kind of go hand in hand because the definition for abortion was the act of miscarrying or producing young before the natural time or before the fetus is perfectly formed. So in a figurative sense, any fruit or produce that does not come to maturity or anything which fails in its progress before it is matured or perfect as a design or project. So, I mean, once again, it's still talking about fruit. Like, so think about what you set out to produce, think about what you have not watered, what you have not imparted into yourself or your purpose, what you have not spent time on, and you can actually abort your dreams and miscarry and all of those things. It may be figuratively speaking and not a natural thing, but, I mean, figuratively speaking, this is what happens in life on a regular basis.
I have a question for you, Jessica. Just comparing both the word miscarry and abortion, is there something like an outside force that affects it, not directly for it to miscarry? And then abortion,
mm-hmm.
is that something that is done by
you. Well, figuratively speaking, it's not saying that per se. It's like in the natural, if you go have an abortion, that's something you're actively doing. Or if you take something to cause it, yeah.
Right, to terminate it.
Yes, terminate it. But, yeah, like miscarriage, that stuff is beyond your control. So think about the wrenches that get placed, the blockages, the tests, basically, that come into play to throw you off track, like you said, to derail you, to misguide you, to cause you this detour, actually to also cause you to hang it up on the wall. Sometimes we have things that we want to achieve and we just, like, don't get to it. Like, we just put it aside and then we may miss our mark. Like, we may miss, there's a season and a time for everything. So that's why it is important to be diligent. It is important to plan it out. Because you can also miss your season. And who knows when your season will return? When will that come about again? I'm not saying that it won't. Sometimes there are a lot of opportunities we have in place, but there is a season sometimes. If you did not take, there was something you were supposed to do and you did not take that opportunity and it's because of fear, because sometimes we just, I mean, we are so fearful. Like, fearful is like a horrible tactic that is used against us to keep us stuck in our tracks. Like, you know, I know for me, like, this is just a little sidebar. Like, for me, I transferred apartment at worst, and I shared this with some people, but I was transferring, and this job was posted for a few months, and I was sick and tired of my job. Actually, I was just over it. I've outgrown it. So I was just ready for a change. And there was this wonderful opportunity that was before me, but I was still, like, a little skeptical. I was like, I don't know. Why is this job still available? What's happening? They still have not filled up the team yet, you know? And I was like, I spoke with the new manager who's brown woman like us, and she was all for me being on board. She was like telling me everything I wanted to hear, even though she says she doesn't tell people what they want to hear, but she really wanted me on her team. She knew my work ethic and things like that. And long story short, I to feel my window of opportunity closing at one point, even though I had favor with her, she was willing to hire me on. I could literally, I did not apply for the longest, it felt like. And one day I could tell that my window of opportunity was getting ready to close. So I went on ahead and applied. And I know my window of opportunity was closing because literally after they hired me, they said they were not hiring any more people. And they still had room for like two more people, but they decided they were not going to hire anybody else. So it's like, it's not because, I don't even know really why they didn't, but there was room. Like, where I moved, there was room, a whole other desk behind me that they decided not to fill. So, yeah, even though someone may like you, someone may want you on board, someone may, you have favor, you don't go with that current that you are literally, you can tell from your insides is pulling you. And you just cut it off because you're reluctant, because you allow fear to overtake you, you can miss out on success. You can miss out on your calling for that season even, something that's going to advance you somewhere else to another level. So, you know, it's just important to be on point and to have your things planned out, to have an accountability partner if you can find someone to just hold you accountable to strategically plan out your time frame, your days, even, you know, check mark those things off that you have. Even if it is, it doesn't even have to be as drastic as, okay, here is my 5-year plan. But even if it's your day to day, if you realize there are things you don't get to do when you get off work or throughout your day, I mean, just put that on your list of things to do and check that off, and you will feel good about yourself.
And then also, don't be discouraged if you think your season has passed.
Right.
Just be diligent in what you're doing. Continue to plan. as Jessica was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And God will bring it back around.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe even bigger.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So. Other things that we were thinking about also for success, I find it important to, you know, combating fear, you know, have the right mindset, have your dreams and visions written down, but also it's being authentic to yourself, to your core. Being your most authentic self is important to success in leading. Because you can't, if you pretend to be someone you're not, that will all come to the light eventually and can cause things to hit the fan. Because also, if you're not authentic to yourself, you may make deals and compromises that don't even feel right to you, that you know aren't right. So it's just kind of like also important to just be your authentic self. Of course, strive to be better, a better version of yourself. But if there are some things you just cannot live with compromising, then just be you. Like, period. Whatever is important to you, just be true to who you are and don't compromise that. Because there's always going to be a partner that can agree with the way you think. If someone doesn't agree with how you think, then, I mean, hey. I mean, not saying that someone has to be 100% like, just like you. That's not even good either. Like, you need someone to sharpen you. But, you know, some people don't have good partnerships and people compromise themselves or compromise who they are, I should say. So.
Yeah, we see such great examples of people, great teachers, you know, great professional athletes and great ministers,
mm-hmm.
Great entertainers. And it's okay because success leaves patterns, but you still want to keep a part of you.
Yeah. Create your own pattern. It's always, there's so much room out here for everyone to succeed. Like, there's so much room. Like, even if someone's doing something like you, or you had that idea first, or someone copied off of you, just do you. Focus on yourself. Yeah. So. But yeah, so that sums up kind of like what we were wanting to just hit on today when it comes to succeeding and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey, Hakeem, how are you?
I was in the background listening. So I wanted to, you guys talked about aborting or abortion. Or what was the other word?
Abortion and miscarriage.
Mm-hmm. Abortion and miscarriage. Now, miscarriage can happen when you have a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you're moving forward in it. And, you know, mm-hmm. just like a woman, she's pregnant and she's expecting to have the child. And then somewhere along the line, she miscarries for some reason.
Yeah.
It could be health issues. She could have been
mm-hmm.
going through stressful situations. Now, when you put that in the context of when you have ideas about business, you know, moving forward, it could be just an idea about proving yourself. And then your outside circumstances, like people's negative words and actions, can cause you to miscarry.
Right.
Because you allow other people's ideas about you dictate to you
mm-hmm.
what's right and wrong for you.
Right.
Most people's ideas are killed before they get manifested because they shared with people who
premature.
Are that. Well, some people just don't want you to succeed. They pretend like they do. Yeah. You know, but when you start talking about success, people have this tendency to not want to be left behind. Oh, yeah. You're doing that? And I'm just doing this old regular thing. So they'll say something to kind of bring you down to their mentality. They'll put you in the same mind frame. Mm-hmm. And then you let that manifest in your mind, and you just miscarry the thought. And you move on to something else. And they go hand in hand. Abortion and miscarriage go together, really. They can go together because you can miscarry, you can abort the idea. You just stop, and then you go hanging out with this person or these things, and you next you know y'all all the same. 10 years later, you're doing the same thing you were doing before. They were successful in getting you to miscarry your successful ideas, your aspirations. So we have to be very mindful of who we share our ideas with, and we have to be diligent in cutting people like that off. Like, for instance, I shared today with, you know, I was just talking, hey, you might want to stock up. This was a neighbor of mine. And I said, you know, I you already know how I feel about the coronavirus. It's nothing more serious than a cold or a flu. It's just that they're, it's what they're promoting in all this fear, right? So, and they were, you know, they had said before, oh, I don't think it's a government agenda. You know, I said, hey, there's something more to this than meets the eye, because they're taking this one thing and they're shutting down everything. And somehow they, April 14th is the magic number to reopen things, right? So they made a mockery of what I was saying. So right then and there, I just told him, hey, you believe what you want to believe, but don't call me anymore. Don't contact me. See, I cut that stuff off immediately, because it's just like that was my idea that I believed in. So for me to allow someone to step on it and make a mockery of it would be not showing faith in myself. You see? And I let them know straight up, hey, you can believe what you want. You do what you want. You know, if you don't believe this in conspiracy, look at us as a people. We're one big conspiracy theory. You know, come on. They put drugs in our community, you know, mass incarceration. I mean, and this is another person of color thing. I said, you don't think the government has an agenda when they've had an agenda against us for as long as you can tell? All of a sudden you trust the government and to tell you everything? Like, really? You know, so I didn't go into a whole argument with them. I just told them, hey, have a nice life, and we will not be communicating, because I don't want those types of people to affect my consciousness. Because if you believe in that, then you'll never be able to look at a dictionary like you guys bought and see that, wait a minute, you know. And people like that, you can give them facts, you know. I've actually sent CDC information in journals from the government that show you what coronavirus really is. Guess what? They're still giving me their opinion, but they haven't read that. You understand? And these are what people are doing with your ideas. They haven't researched your idea. They don't have the feeling you have about that idea, but yet they have a negative opinion about it, like as if they did it. And I have a serious issue with people who give me their opinion from a point of view of without having any real experience with the situation.
Yeah, hearsay.
I'm not saying that this stuff is BS because I'm just saying it. I'm looking at the data, the scientific data that says this is not as serious. And in even in Trump's speech last night, he said it's, you know, just wash your hands. And older people are being affected. Children are not being affected, but yet they're closing schools. Okay, so what's going on? They're willing to sacrifice millions of dollars for something that's more important than this coronavirus. You understand?
Right.
So, you know, we just got to be careful of who we connect with and be willing to cut off people with that type of mindset instantly.
Right.
Like, have a nice life. We could see each other in passes and I'll speak, but we cannot have a conversation. Because really, it's not going to be a conversation about building anything positive. So why even waste your time having a conversation with a person like that? You know, and so many of us are dealing with people like that who constantly step on our ideas of what we think and our aspirations, but yet we keep these people as friends. These people are not your friends. They're really not. Because a friend, when they hear an idea, will say, oh, that's a great idea. Or,
yeah.
even if they don't understand it fully, I hope that it works out. I wish you success, and then leave it alone. Won't have an opinion about it at all.
Right.
You see? So that's very important that we don't allow people to cause us to miscarry our good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what I'm saying. At some point, you have to be intentional about your relationship and who
right.
you share, you know, your ideas with. Like, everything has to be – at some point, you come to a level of every move is intentional. Just about strategic, you know.
Right. And that's what you got to be. Okay, let's think about it from the past. When you weren't intentional about stuff and things were happening to you, you're like, why did this happen? Because you didn't plan. You didn't foresee that what you were thinking and what
right.
you were about to get into was going to be a problem. Why? You got clues that it was going to be a problem. You ignored it. You know, every encounter we come across, whether it's a physical encounter or a personal encounter, whatever it is, whether to go forward or not, right in that first 30 seconds of that encounter, you get a signal. What is this? You know, sometimes you might automatically feel okay about it. And then sometimes you get, wait a minute, I got some questions here. And it's not always paranoia. It's your spirit saying, look at this situation more closely. And
right.
if we did more of that, somebody told me something that was very wise. And I was wondering about doing business with a certain person. Now, the guy didn't want to tell me not to do business with the guy right out. But he said this. He said, listen, if you feel unsure about this opportunity, whether it was going to work or not, if you feel unsure and you're not sure, he said, it's better to do without this opportunity than to do this opportunity and lose all your money. Because my unsureness wasn't so much about the opportunity. It was the person I was doing business with that was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I didn't trust that person. So he was like, if you don't trust that person, then you should not be doing business with that person.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the opportunity might be a great opportunity, but who you're going in business with is the problem. You see? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a very good topic you brought up, you know, just to stay on. Because I can relate to everything you said. I got plenty of stuff I wrote down, and I go back to it. And then years ago, like, I never did this.
Mm-hmm.
I never finished this. And that becomes a pattern.
And I never started this. Like, geez.
Right.
That's the most annoying part.
Great ideas pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how's life other than that? You know, we got the coronavirus, people freaking out, clearing out grocery store shelves. I think this is the next apocalypse. And I think personally that the people who is generating this fear are sitting back in their chairs laughing at these people. Like, yo, all we got to do is make up some numbers and get the media to repeat it over and over, and these people just go nuts.
Right.
Yes. And now that causes you to have to prepare. Because if you go and you can't buy food, because all of these people panic, then you're in a position where, okay, I can. So you got to prepare because they're. So it almost forces everybody to do something. You know?
Yes.
You know, so they don't
get
caught
out
here.
I wasn't afraid of the coronavirus. Yeah. I was like, they need to keep that same energy every flu season. Anytime there's a new, every couple of years or something new, the last time it was Ebola, and it just did not happen. But I started thinking, like, okay, if they do quarantine and all that, like, that one, I don't even, I went to the store last week just to buy things that I needed, and I was just like, wow. Like, I just went to go get bleach, and because I need to wash some whites, and it was just, like, only a few. And, I mean, although I already had toilet paper, I'm just like, well, dang, am I going to have toilet paper in a couple weeks? So it's just like it's causing you to have to stock up. Not that you're so much in a ruckus, but that energy can give in to you. It can transfer to you, because I was at work and it was just a panic after a while. Like, people were, as the news continued, as we kept receiving messages, text messages, and, you know, about what's happening next, anxiety starts to set in and rub off, you know, and it makes you break your focus. And it's like, oh, should I feel like everyone else? Should I be in a frenzy, you know? So it's, yeah, I just had to, like, regroup. I haven't even been on social media today, and I'm glad. I wasn't on social media I am intentionally not on social media all the time, but it wasn't really on purpose today. Like, I at least scroll at least once or twice, but I wasn't even on there today, and I felt like I was because I was still around everybody else that heard about this and, you know, the information. So I had to, like, listen to something positive. I had to pull somebody up on YouTube and listen to some motivation, inspiration, something that could combat all of that, that chaos for a moment. So, I mean, my peace is so... I don't like to feel frantic or anxious or frustrated or flustered. So
I felt some of that today. I really was distracted. I didn't get much work done.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, I gotta go to the store. I mean, I know we're gonna be all right, but still.
Oh, we're gonna be fine. You're gonna have, like, okay, they closed the schools. The only meals that some of these kids get is at school.
Right.
So now if they close the schools for 3-4 weeks at a time, what are these kids going to eat? You see what I'm saying? So then that type of situation causes what? Crime. So you got to be mindful of the people that's going to knock you over the head for what you got. So it creates a big chain effect. And fear, unfortunately, is an expectation of something appearing real. And when that happens, when you get a group, large amounts of people in fear, that's a dangerous combination.
Right.
Yep. So that's what you got to worry. Not worry, but just be mindful of. That's where the problem is. Coronavirus is the least of your worries. It's that, how people behave because of these situations. There's just nothing, like I was telling about the other person, they believe that this is some new strand and it's some mutation, it's the next, you know, Black Plague, Ebola, all combined, rolled up in one. They believe that hype. So it's nothing you can say to them to convince them otherwise. I mean, I'm giving you government data that says what the coronavirus is. And you're not, what's funny about this, you're not even reading that and you still got an opinion. Because people's real source of information, where they believe, is the news. That's they believe in that. You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing good to them. CNN ain't saying it. Fox News ain't saying it. It ain't the truth. It can come right from the government's website. And, you know, I got manuals that say coronavirus, and then right there, symptoms, common cold. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
But they ain't going to believe that. No, CNN ain't agreeing with that government scientific book. They don't, you know, that's how ignorant people are. And, and the dangerous people are the people that really think they know what they know. And they hardline believe in that, and they'll fight you for it. So that's why I say stop. I tell people stop trying to break these people up. Let them believe what they want to believe. You just take care of yourself, and
yeah,
that's all you can do.
Yeah, the only thing I found one was the Clorox. We, you know, I work in the health field, so we keep Clorox wipes. So I just pulled out, like, we get them in batches, like huge bulk. So I just pulled out a container. I was like, read this. Like, it's already on here.
Right.
Kill 99.9. I'm like, Corona is on here. It's not new.
Yeah.
But people don't even,
not.
I mean, that's all I need to say to wake some of them up. I'm like, okay, because I'm not going to let you rub. They literally would try to rub off on you. And I'm like, no, bring it back.
Right,
like,
yeah.
No. This is something else. This is a different agenda, yes, but
you're not
about to be
this,
about this.
What have they been saying about this virus that came from the animals, right? Well, here's the government document on this thing. First, let's read diagnosis. Colds caused by coronavirus cannot be distinguished clinically from other colds in any one individual. What does that say? That basically says the test for the coronavirus is a bunch of BS. So they can't distinguish whether that coronavirus or not. So where do they get these positives and negatives from? So it's probably a test is, you know, flip a coin. Boom. Okay, this one's going to give us a positive. This one's going to give us a negative. They can rig it like that, right? Laboratory diagnosis may be made on the basis of antibody titers in paired serum. The virus is difficult to isolate. What is that saying? That they have to actually do something in the cell walls to even identify it, meaning they got to invade your body to get even close to figuring out what it is. And this test it can be dangerous, and that test can actually kill you if your immune system is weak. So if they've done this test on older people, they could have killed them through this test. Right? The virus is difficult to isolate. Nucleic acid hybridization tests, including PCR, are now being introduced. Now, how old is this this thing? It doesn't have a date on it. But now, here's the other thing. This is one when they say it came from, this is what they say, it came from animals, right? It came from animals. Here's what it says. Coronaviruses are found in avian and mammalian species. They resemble each other in morphology and chemical structure. For example, the coronaviruses of humans and cattle are antigenetically related. So what is antigenetically related? That means they're not related. Anti. There's no evidence, however, that human coronavirus can be transmitted by animals. In animals, various coronaviruses invade many different tissues and cause a variety of diseases. But in humans, they are only proved to cause milder upper respiratory infection, common colds, i.e. common colds. On rare occasions, gastrointestinal coronavirus infection has been associated with outbreaks of diarrhea in children, but these enteric viruses are not well characterized and not discussed in this chapter. It just said that they antigenetically related, so there is no jump from animal to human.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is right from .gov, www.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov, I'll put it in the chat for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying that, but the news is telling you it did come from the animals. They're not scientists.
Right.
So why are we listening to people who don't have degrees in biology, nuclear physics, and nuclear medicine, and there's other, stuff? By the way, y'all, I used to be a pre-med student, just to let y'all know, just to kind of, I kind of understand this stuff, right? So what I'm saying is, when I started saying, hey, this is nothing more than a cold, I wasn't saying it because I just made it up. I just looked at the symptoms. And it said everything that you get in a cold, this is what it gives you. So this is nothing but a cold. That if you don't take care of it, can turn into pneumonia or anything else. I used to work with a guy. And I worked at the World Trade Center. Guy was at work one day, and he ended up dead because he had pneumonia. He had a regular cold. This is back in the 90s. Hey, my daughter's calling, so I will be right back.
Well, the publication of what he's reading, it was in 1996, the NCBI website. Yeah, he was on the roll. So, the people at my job were getting flustered about the coronavirus. And like I said, it was trying to rub off on me. And one lady at my job, she was just like, I'm starting to get anxious now. Like, everybody, it's like a domino effect. Like, at my job, now they're making, we've gotten word at the end of the day. We just happened to stay over at work today. And one of the directors came to us and said, I just want you to know, an email's going out in the morning that our side of the building, we are going to be the ones to call. We're going to be the ones to take calls for people that have questions about the coronavirus or the people that the doctors that have questions or suspect that their patients have the coronavirus, and they're going to be led to come to our building and they're going to get screened. They're not going to come inside our building. They're going to have some ambulances. The ambulance is going to, they're going to have a few ambulance trucks screening people. So that's going to be a whole nother thing. Like, they're going to probably have false positives. It's just going to be a whole nother dilemma. It's just, this is such a domino effect. It's amazing. So, I mean, whatever agenda is happening, it's just.
Yeah, I work in banking, so. They have already sent us home, working from home, started at the beginning of the week. They had already prepared to send us home until further notice. So that, and then where we're at, they actually extended spring break 3 weeks for kindergarten through 12th grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starting Monday, the kids don't go to school.
So what is that going to do? That's going to, people got to spend more money for food at home. The kids are home now while out of school. Unprepared expenses. And so you, with all this mass money on the grocery store, it's going to put a big dent in the economy when it comes to getting groceries, filling, stocking up these shelves.
And then what are you
going to
do
demand.
If you're, what are you going to do if your kids are out of school and you have to go to work?
Exactly.
Who's going to take care of them?
Yeah.
Daycares are going
to
be closed.
Well, I think what's going to happen, nobody's going to go to work for a few weeks either.
Yeah.
They're going to make sure that their parents are home. Trust me.
You know,
I see that coming. Yeah.
Well, and that's another thing.
Well,
when.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When your supervisor came around, that was one thing she said. She was like, we're going to try to work with one another. Those that have kids, we're going to try to support and cover other people, because that's the thing. Like, starting after tomorrow, it's a whole another situation.
Mm-hmm.
People have, now there's no laws as to how old your kid has to be left home alone, but people aren't going to do that when your children are young.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so
people out there.
Yeah. It's, yeah, so you're right. People aren't going to probably come to work. And I'm just waiting for the day that they're going to finally tell me that I can stay home. That would be amazing. They try so hard to keep us at work. Like, Paige has already been working from home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
canceled all of these events, you know, big money events.
NCAA, Arnold Sports Festival. Like, those are major money, like millions.
Like, looking forward to March Madness. I'm like, no.
For them to sacrifice that kind of money, that kind of money.
Yes.
Means the agenda is bigger than that. You understand?
Exactly.
It's bigger than that. Something is going to go down in these few weeks. I believe, my personal opinion, a month is where we're going to deal with this, and then we're going to come back out of this, and it'd be like, what happened? You're like, what did we do all of this for? And, you know, so, and by that time, they would have enacted all of what they need to do. Now, let's look at the timing of all of this. Let's look.
Especially,
let's look at it. Do y'all realize this is the real new year coming up?
I do not.
March is,
March is the real new year. The spring is new year. When the spring is new year, that's the real new year. That is your ancestral new year. This January is what you call the corporate new year. So I'm looking at this from a spiritual point of view. You understand? They're suspending everything, and then spiritual new year, we're going to come into a new age of things. Now, what that exactly going to look like, I don't know. Now, this is the time, coincidentally, we celebrate what? The resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
This is really the time, right here, Easter. You see?
Right, yeah.
So, but we know Easter is a paganistic, you know, god of futility deal. But it's all in line with that. And I don't think that's a coincidence. You understand? I don't think that's a coincidence at all. And I think for the people that spiritually in tune, they're going to be right. They're going to be fine. Now, for those, because remember, what you worry about, you're going to bring about that what you worry about, what you fear. So if you keep yourself from being in fear about this and unsay, you know, God has got this, I'm okay. If I say I believe and I trust in a higher power, then I'm going to be okay. This, but at the same time, you believe in your higher power and you're prepared. You know, that doesn't mean you don't go buy you some protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
Because the Bible had many of wars, and he sent his people into war, and they warred with other nations. So it doesn't mean you could be a spiritual gardener, whatever, but I'd rather be a gardener prepared for war.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yes. Yes.
So you got to be you got to be ready, because like we've been saying, it's the mass people that are running in all kinds of directions that's going to be the problem. You know, we think, the government just and that. No, it's not there. I'm not going to be like, it's the people who don't know what to do, faint out of fear, not knowing what to do. Those are the people you have to worry about, reacting because they're scared of something that may not ever happen. You know?
Yeah.
And whatever's going to happen, what are you going to do about it anyway? Like people are running, I need to prepare. And I said, basically, if you haven't prepared by now, it's too late. It's already raining.
Right.
It's too late. There's nothing you can, you're just going to have to, you know, weather it and make it through. You'll be all right. You keep your mindset on positive, you'll navigate through it. It may get a little difficult. I think it's going to get testy for a while. I really personally believe that this is a testing event to see how people react, see what the banking, how they're going to run to the bank, how they're going to grow this. They're logging all of this. Okay, this is all we have to do, and this is how they react. So they could really herd you in a certain direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. I think so, too.
So, just do what you can do, and that's it.
That's it.
And just
that's
relax.
I think that was important that you said, like, whatever you believe in is what you're going to receive. Like, if you just worry and are fearful, then, you know, basically you're sowing that into your life. So it is important to just know, like, everything's going to be okay and really believe it.
Yeah, really believe it. That's key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, at this point, there's not much you can do. It's out of your control.
Exactly.
They're doing it. They're shutting down things that you never thought would be shut down. This is unprecedented things are happening right now. Things you just got took for granted is happening right now. They're sending people home from schools. Like, oh, see you in 3 weeks. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
How do y'all know? Yeah. What do y'all know that I don't know that April 14th is going to be fine to come back? What do y'all know?
Yeah.
Unless
then,
that's
yeah.
just a starting point, you know?
Yeah, and then, like, my little cousin was like, she has to go home to school tomorrow just to get a packet. Like, they're going to have all of this planned out, like, give the kids a bunch of work. Well, some schools, I don't know about all schools, but I know
they're
going to
be
schools.
Working from home. They're going to be working on their computers from home. Because they've already, like, in my daughter's district, they checked to see who got internet at home.
Yeah. Yep, they did that for us, too.
Right. So they're doing a survey to see who got internet. They've already told the kindergartners and the first graders to take their Chromebooks home. What does that mean? Okay, you've already got it planned out. Yeah, these kids are going to be home doing school. Now, the question is this. What about the teachers that work for the school system?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going to get paid all of these weeks that they're out? Are they going to get their pay?
Yeah, that's my question.
How's that going to work?
Even for myself.
How's that going to work?
When we get quarantined, you know, I'm like, well, or if we get quarantined, like,
now,
what
on the positive side of that, on the positive side, this is I'm thinking positive. I strongly believe this is probably a part of this global reset that they've been talking about, where they're going to reset the currency. So if anybody who owns Iraqi dinars and those types of currencies, they're going to see an increase in value on those. You got gold, silver and stuff on hand. You're gonna have some money, and they're gonna do Jubilee, which means they're gonna forgive all the debt and start
right.
from scratch. So
I really thought today thought about Jubilee.
Well, it's funny because I'm connected with a bankruptcy software company, and they sent me an email, and the name of the software was Jubilee.
Wow.
And that was just like 2 days ago. Well, they had this Jubilee software out a couple of years ago. I said, man, they're about to do a global reset. But let me see if I can pull Jubilee. How the Jubilee payments can make you Jubilee legal payments. Jubilee legal payments, how the Jubilee payments can make you $50 within just the next 48 hours. So this is a bankruptcy software for bankruptcy attorneys that they use to do your bankruptcy. So they're going to do a massive, I just really believe they're going to do a massive discharge of all the debt. But I think also your nationality is going to play a key role in this. You know, just to think a little further, I don't want to get anybody hopes up. I think we're going to go back to the republic form of government where each state is being treated like its own country. So you might even simply, to even move from one state to another, you might need a passport card or book or that real ID just to go from one state to the next. Because you remember, okay, we got coronavirus now, and they're shutting things down. In order to do a global reset, they have to shut things down to get the new system up. They cannot do it while the system is still running. See, this, if you listen to Trump's speech, it looked like they had a gun. It looked like they had a gun to his head the way he was talking. Like, he really didn't want to read that speech, right? So he always focused on economy is strong. Don't worry. He didn't care about people dying. He didn't say anything about that. That speech was about the economy, to keep people comfortable with that. So in order to, if you send everybody home, okay, we get everybody out of the office, and then we just do a whole reset on the system. And when the system comes back up, nobody knows that the system just changed. So, yeah, people are panicking now, but when it comes back up, it's going to be a smooth shift, and you will never know what actually happened during that time. Then coronavirus will be talking about the cold in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story I read years ago. It's about a man. This is actually a true story. He was on vacation and he met a guy who was supposed to be in the know about the different tactics that the government uses. And one of the statements the guy said was, he said, when we do our one world order, you'll never know that we did it. We'll create an event so massive that everybody's paying attention to that. When that's all
yep.
said and done, we have moved in, we have done what we needed to do, and no one will be the wiser. So it'll look just like any other day. You see?
Yeah.
So what people are looking for, mass hysteria, mass chaos, I don't think we're going to see that. Just looking at the, you know, just people just going to just thinking that's going to happen. But I don't think we're going to see that. And when it comes back, it's like, okay, well, they'll be so messed up in the head that they won't even see that something just happened right up under their noses. And I don't think it's a coincidence, too, that last year, you know, 5 years ago, Hindsight Radio was created or started. Right? It wasn't created 5 years. It was actually created 7 years ago. And then right at the beginning of last year, I became solo. You know, me and my son, you know, we were left. And then this whole year, I was focused on getting people set up nationals. That was the drive, getting people, letting the government know that they're not U.S. citizens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1 year later, because this is exactly the time that that whole fiasco happened, where the separation came. 1 year later, we're dealing with this. I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, now I'm on the next phase of things, trust. We're going to get our trust together so that we can operate out of trust and keep away from the straw man lifestyle. And that's moving at rapid pace. I am ready to actually hold the first class to show y'all what y'all need to do. I will be announcing exactly what day, and I'll be unfolding the next steps. And when I look at all of this and how all of this is playing out, Hindsight Ready going to be fine. You know, because we're in the energy and a field of protection, that we're going to be good. And we're going to be helping people get their head right, get their status corrected. Now, what I also see on the dark side of that, all of the people that took their time with their nationality, y'all might be having some trouble come April. On the real.
And that goes with when I was saying move, when the season, when you're supposed to move.
Let me tell something. Let me read something to you. I can't show it to you, but it was given to me. I'm in the know with certain individuals. And it's something that is rolled out by the Social Security Administration, and I'll go more into this on Tuesday and what they're about to do. What the banks are going to do, which is in connection with the Social Security Administration. Hang on, if I can. Where is it? Hang on, let me find it. I was reading it earlier.
While you look for that, I'll tell the people that are aware, if you listen to the first show we did, when we were talking about fear, I was talking about my credit, because, you know, I'm. Some of you may know that I'm doing a third-party debt ordeal with Navient, and my credit took a hit in beginning of this year, and I took a screenshot of it. This isn't necessarily exactly when it happened, but my credit dropped 144 points on one side, and that was February 10th, and my credit, it says that it was 612. And just over the weekend, they sent me an email, and I don't really know what it said. It was so vague. It didn't say congratulations. It didn't say anything. It was just like credit karma. But my credit went up 160 points on one TransUnion, and then 139 points. So I'm back to 700, like right one of them. I have no idea what's happening, but my credit went right back up. And
right.
I started this in November, but my credit didn't take a hit till this year, and now it's back up. And I looked, I said, oh, well, maybe my credit, maybe it's off now, and it's not off. I still recently did another, send them another letter, but it's not off. It says that it's past due, and I'm just waiting this out. So I'm just going to keep you guys updated on what happens with that. So just wanted to give you guys an update on what's happening with that process.
All right, so that's good. That's because that's I've never seen that where they. I mean, it went up like 150 plus points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they don't go up that fast. It's just 10 points, 1 point here and there. But that big jump, something that means there's something going on with their system. They're already working on something.
Right.
That's what that means. You see?
Something.
Now. This is from the Social Security Administration. It's a newsletter they sent out September 6, 2019. News release, Social Security. Social Security announces first potential group of participants for new electronic Social Security number verification services. Service to begin in 2020. Right? Now, this is supposed to happen in June. We got all this switching rules going on right now. All this is coincidence, right? I don't think so. The Social Security Administration today announced the first potential group of selected participants for its new electronic consent-based Social Security number verification, ECVSB service. The agency will roll out the service to these users in June 2020 and plans on expanding the number of users within approximately 6 months of the initial rollout. Our new electronic Social Security number verification service will help to reduce synthetic identity fraud by comparing data provided electronically by approved participants with the agency's records, said Andrew Saul, Commissioner of the Social Security. This will provide fast, secure, and more efficient Social Security number verification for the financial services industry and customers using their services. Social Security is creating an ECVSB, a fee-based electronic Social Security number verification service, to allow select financial institutions and service providers called permitted entities, and including subsidiaries, affiliates, agents, subcontractors, or assignees of a financial institution to verify if a person's Social Security number, name, and date of birth combination matches Social Security records. Social Security needs the person's written consent and will accept an electronic signature in order to disclose the Social Security number verification to the permitted entity. ECVSB returns a match verification of yes or no. ECVSB does not verify a person's identity. What they're saying is when you go into a bank or you apply for credit now and you give that 9-digit number, that they're going to verify whether it's a social or not. So this is going to be rolled out to a select permitted, what do they say, permitted entities, or what was the term, permitted entities, in the beginning. And here are the 10 participants right now at the initial rollout. American Express Travel Related Services Company, Inc., Capital One Services, LLC, Computer Information Develop, LLC, Discover Financial Services, Early Warning Services, LLC, Experian Information Solutions, Inc., ID Analytics, LLC, Navy Federal Credit Union, Centerlink Corp and Synchrony Financial. Each of the service providers selected can serve up to 20 permitted entities. So that means one of these service providers can hire 20 subcontractors with the potential of 124 permitted entities participating in the initial rollout. So this is the initial 10. So by the time the initial rollout could be as much as 124. This announcement does not affect the existing consent-based Social Security number verification service. For more information, see the Social Security web, security.gov website. So what this means is CPNs is going to have a problem. So if you go in there and you apply and you put a CPN on that Social Security number line, and they're going to verify whether that's an actual social or not. This is why I've been telling you guys for the longest, get a business account and use an EIN for your bank account. And now you can legally refuse to give them your social. So, because remember, this, they said you have to consent for them to verify whether that's a social or not. You know, you have to sign that. But, so if you haven't done CPNs, now, by June, you ain't going to be able to do it. That's going to be over, pretty much. You know, so what you're going to have to do, business credit, and refuse to give up your social because you have a right not to give it. So I'm just opening up a, but if you have a trust account, there's nothing to verify. You understand? So if I tell you open up a corporate soul, and then you, that corporate soul is, has a trust as a shareholder, there's your two numbers that put on the account. All you need is a trustee that's going to, or a representative that's just going to handle the account. That social doesn't have to be attached to the account, even though they might try that. But I'll talk more. That's kind of off what y'all are talking about. I just wanted to share that with people, that with all of these events coming up, there's a lot of new things rolling out that you're not aware of. And, of course, I'll put this up in the membership once we get up, this PDF, and y'all can read it from the website. So.
Okay.
All right, you guys good?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah. So. Just look at this as a positive opportunity.
Yeah.
3-4 weeks home, you can work on your goals and your aspirations, binge some Reverend Ike and some other positive teachers, stay out of these, like you said, social media and all of those other things. Stay away from that. As I got caught up in it today, I'm looking up, next you know, I'm just flipping like, oh, my God, what am I doing? It's addictive. And it gets you caught up in that mindset of panic.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be all right.
Oh, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Money is still flowing as we speak.
Money is still flowing.
It's still flowing. Currency is just moving. It's just going to be moving in a different way now. Just, you know. Now, all of those people that worry, they're going to have the problems because they worry. They're in fear. We don't need to be in fear. If God said, I see the birds, they don't worry. I know how many head of hair you have, so don't worry. When these things happen, that just means that we're closer and closer to a better or new beginning, positive beginning, you know?
Yeah.
Salvation is near. Anyway, all right. So, what else y'all got? That was a great show. I like what y'all were teaching.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Giving your insight and your input is always welcome. Always. So,
thank you. Thanks for allowing
me. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, guys, I got a great team, y'all. I have an awesome team. These sisters have, you know, been a true inspiration and definitely a big weight off my shoulders. you know, as we go more and they get more acclimated to doing the shows, you guys going to see what you're really dealing with in these two systems. I'm telling y'all. Just wait. Y'all see. And I thank you guys for, you know, doing what you do, taking the time out and putting the show together. And you know, being thoughtful about your topics. So,
yeah.
Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, that's it for me. I'm done.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else you want to share?
I don't think so.
No, that's it. We got more stuff.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let's see. You know, y'all got y'all new drops. We gotta plug y'all. We gotta plug y'all.
Yeah.
It's time for the Divine Connection Show. You listening to the Divine Connection Show with your host, Jessica and Tasia.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah, that's
now I got to mix it in with some music. Y'all got to give me some music y'all want to mix it in with so I can mix it up for y'all, okay?
Okay.
And then, you know, be all DJ-ish. Get some swag.
Yes.
All right. All right, y'all. I'm with, you know, y'all can pick what y'all want to, y'all going out stuff. Go there and figure out what y'all want to play for the people that's still on.
Okay. See. We're looking.
Oh, just to let everybody know while they're looking, the membership is just, it's ready, really. And I'm going to be sending the email out for the first meeting. The meeting is going to be pretty much once a month. They're going to be recorded. And the first meeting is going to be about trust and the three types of trust you need to be successful in your setting up your estate and administering your estate. That's the first one. And then I'm going to give you guys the information and contact. You need to contact the brother. He's going to hook you up. Of course, when I say hook you up, he's got some fees when it's related to the trust. They're $1,500 for the trust, but it's three trusts. He gets the EINs. I think that's a pretty good fee. And then some other things that goes with that. You know, one of the reasons why I'm not charging for the private membership is because this brother doesn't charge to introduce you to the process. Now, he does have fees as far as preparing the 1041. He has fees when it comes to doing the tax return and fees when it's, you know, setting up the trust and, you know, and some other minimal fees. Because he knows it's a tedious process. It's a lot of work involved in getting yourself set up properly. So, but if we move forward, you know, together, we could have this done before the end of the year and be ready for January of next year. Put this out there now, and I'm going to repeat this in the membership. We're going to be moving in phases. So the first phase is trust. So that means you need to have your trust set up. I'm probably going to give a time frame of when it needs to be, for probably 60 days, because I know because it costs to do the trust, 60 days. But if you have not gotten and finished your trust yet, to set up yet, you cannot move forward to the second or the next phase of the program. So you're going to have to sit out. Now, we record all the meetings, and you're going to have to catch up. I'm not waiting for people who drag their feet that come back, oh, I didn't got the trust. No. No, we're going to move together, move as a unit. So that means your trust and stuff got to be ready to go, you know, before you get, okay, here's the other things you got to do. That trust is important. So if I skip that and then you're on the other stuff and you don't have your trust, then you just did everything for nothing. We got to see, and you got to be serious about what you're doing. So I'll give more details about it when we start it. All right, I'm ready. Y'all can go ahead and do your outros.
Okay. Everybody have a good evening. Night. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Be safe, y'all.
Peace.
Stay right there.
Stay right there.
You're listening to Hindsight Radio.
Giving is for the love of you. Oh, yes, I am. Paris. Radio.